Shall I clip this on?
Yeah.
Well, good morning again. As George said, my name's Chris Edwards. I'm a curate in Churchdown in Potter's Bar. It's really lovely to be here with you today. If you're here for the first time this morning, I know exactly how you feel. So do tell me afterwards, we can compare notes. I first met Dave and Judy in a queue, standing in a queue in Eastbourne at a thing called Bible by the Beach, which I think some of you may have been to, is that right?
Yeah.
I know they've been down there at least once or twice. And we used to live in Sussex, so we got into going to Bible by the Beach and have loved it. We met them just standing in a queue and getting chatting, and then it was one of those wonderful providential things because a few months later, I was going to end up moving to Potter's Bar, and so I've got to know Dave a lot better, really appreciated his friendship and that partnership. So I've been to your other building, shall I say, a couple of times there, and I trust all is going well with the building works, and it's lovely to be here with you as well. If you've lost that page on the Bible reading, page 970, do turn that open again, and let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we pray for your work in us now. Give us grace to hear what you want to say to us. Give us a keenness to want you to speak to us, and give us the hearts and the wills to obey and to put that into practice, and the courage to do what you're wanting us to do in response. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last year there was a survey done to find out how many people in the UK sometimes pray. What would you have thought? Well, the answer is that apparently 51% of people in the UK sometimes pray. Don't know if that's what you would have guessed, but think of that when you're walking down the street or when you're in the supermarket or when you're sat on the train. 51% of those people sometimes pray. For some of them, the survey said that's just at times of crisis when they don't know where else to turn. For other people, it's a more regular pattern of prayer. So one of the people they interviewed for the survey was a guy called Henry. He said, I don't know if I believe in God. I certainly wouldn't describe myself as a religious man. And yet Henry prays every night, he says, kneeling by his bed. He starts off by saying the Lord's Prayer, and then he asks for his loved ones to be kept safe and well. Sometimes I include other specific people or situations or suffering groups, he said. Then I have a fuzzy moment about me. Not concrete thoughts, and I don't ask for specifics. He says he has no idea if God hears his prayers or not. And Henry says he doesn't pray to make himself feel better. It's not for that kind of therapeutic effect. Henry says, sometimes I don't know why I do it. I feel like a fraud or a hypocrite. But Henry keeps praying every night. It's interesting, isn't it? What do you make of that? I'll tell you what I make of that. I say, God bless Henry. God bless Henry. Henry every night is kneeling down praying to a God that he's not sure exists and that he doesn't know what he's like. May God open his heart and his mind to see the Lord Jesus. Do you know, this country has got 51% of people praying, a lot of them, I guess, praying to some kind of nominally Christian God in some kind of nominally Christian way, but without knowing the one that they're praying to. May God reveal himself to them as they pray. That's what I say. Maybe today you feel a bit like a Henry. Maybe you feel, I'm not really sure whether God is there or totally what he's like. Or maybe you're a Christian and you have been a Christian for years and maybe prayed for years, but you still have times when you think, I'm not really sure who I'm talking to. I don't really know what to do. I was talking to a lady this week. I'd been around to see her. She's not very well. And after I'd chatted with her, I said, shall we pray together? And she said to me, that would be lovely. I'm not very good at praying, you know. And you may have said that, you may have thought that. Let me tell you, I certainly feel that. I certainly often feel I'm not very good at praying. I don't know what to pray. I don't know quite how to do it. And you sometimes might have thought, I wonder if there was some bit of the Bible where Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Well, guess what? If you've ever thought that, you're sitting in exactly the right chair today, because we come to this bit of Matthew's Gospel where Jesus says to his disciples, this then is how you should pray. And if we want to know how to pray, these words are like gold dust to us, where Jesus himself says to his disciples, this then is how you should pray. And the Lord's Prayer does a remarkable thing for us, because it doesn't just give us some kind of pattern of prayer to recite. It educates us into the kind of God that we're praying to and the kind of things that we should be saying to him. So let's have a look at the first four words of it, where it starts. Our Father in heaven. Such familiar words. This bit of the Bible, after all, is probably the bit of the Bible that is most spoken, I would think, day by day around the world. Perhaps most well known, most memorized. So familiar, our Father in heaven. But revolutionary words. When the country is full of people like Henry who pray and are not sure who they're praying to or how they can pray to him. This tells us that God is in heaven. God isn't in creation, and of course he's everywhere, but he's not in creation in the sense that he inhabits the creation and lives in the trees or is the creation. God is not just some spiritual force who's around everywhere. Though he's everywhere, God is in heaven. He's personal, and we can come to him as our Father. Now, none of us can do that by right. The only one who can come to God as Father by right is his Son, Jesus Christ. But if we come in the name of Jesus Christ, his Son, having our sins forgiven through his death, raised to new life through his resurrection, adopted into God's family, then with Jesus at our side, we come to God as our Father. There's a lovely story of an American soldier sat dejectedly outside the White House 150 years ago at the time of the American Civil War. As he sat there, a young boy walked past him and said to him, "Why are you looking so miserable?" And he said, "My dad has died in this fighting. My brother's died in the fighting. I want to go home and look after the rest of my family, but I need the president to release me from the army so I can do that. And every time I get to the door of the White House, the soldiers there bar the way and tell me to go back and fight. What can I do?" And this little boy says to him, "You come with me." And he leads him up to the door of the White House, straight past the soldiers, straight through the door, down the hallway, and without even pausing to knock, they go straight into the president's office. And this little boy says, "Dad, this man needs to have a word with you. Will you listen to him?" And praying in the name of Jesus is a little bit like that. On our own, we can't get anywhere near this heavenly throne room of God. But with the Son at our side, walking us in, we get right to the presence of the Lord. Now, we've all had different experiences of earthly fathers, I'm sure. Some really happy, some really sad, some a mixture of the two, no doubt. No human father is perfect, but God is the perfect Father. Which means he always listens. It means he always gives us what's best for us. Maybe he won't give us a Ferrari for our 14th birthday, however much we might ask him for one. But it means God loves to hear us speak, like any good parent loves to hear their children speak to them. He loves to hear that. You don't need to try and impress God like those pagans in verse 7 who babble away thinking they'll be heard because of their many words, because God knows you and loves you and he wants to hear what you say to him. You don't need to be good at praying as my friend said, you just need to come to God, your Heavenly Father, in the name of His Son, your Saviour. So, you're in the president's office with the son at your side. What are you going to say to him? Because the president says to you, what can I do for you today? And it's just the same with God when the son brings us in to the father's presence in heaven. What are you going to say to him? He says, what can I do for you? Well, let's have a look what Jesus says in the rest of this prayer. It's actually a prayer of two halves, if you look at verses 9 to 13 there. There's three things about God, and then there's three things about us. Three things about God. Hallowed be your name. I guess we don't say hallowed very much these days, except perhaps talking about the hallowed turf at Lord's or Old Trafford, or where does Stevenage play? Hallowed turf? Perhaps sometimes. I don't know. Someone, I've just been at Gravely and they said, it's not hallowed this season. So sympathies with the Stevenage supporters. May it go well. But hallowed means may your name be treated as holy. So really, that's what we're saying when we say hallowed be your name. May your name, God, be treated with the respect it deserves. May it be kind of holified, if you like. Then we say your kingdom come. Then we say your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Three things about God. Then there's three things about us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's so short and sweet, isn't it? It's short and profound. You could easily have at least one sermon on each of those six things. We could explore what it means to trust God for our daily bread in the kind of industrialized world that we live in. How does that challenge us that we should be praying to God every day for our daily needs? Do we store up too much treasure perhaps on earth rather than in heaven? We could talk about what it means for God's kingdom to come in the sense of looking forward to the return of Christ when He brings in His kingdom, but also in the sense of the rule of God spreading through people's hearts and lives today. We could talk more about the way that prayer starts with these three things about God before it ever gets to things about us, and how often my prayers and perhaps your prayers start the other way around. I start with myself and then I get to God if He's lucky. We could dig into those three specific things that Jesus tells us to pray for ourselves when we do get on to praying about ourselves. Daily bread. Yeah, daily necessities, but do we expect the next one to be forgive us our debts? The things that gives us spiritual life, to have our slate wiped clean with God. Then we could talk about the reality of evil in this world, the need to pray for protection from the evil one. We could see how Jesus insists that we forgive one another, how vital that is to actually being forgiven and in a right relationship with God. As we share the Lord's Supper this morning, it's a meal for those who are right with God through faith in Christ and right with one another. It's a fellowship meal together, and Jesus lays such an emphasis on that. What do we think of that? We could explore that. I don't know whether you'll be pleased, relieved, or disappointed to hear we're not going to get any of those six sermons this morning. Maybe another day. What I want to do, just with the time we've got left, is to suggest a simple, practical way that we can pray the Lord's Prayer. Where the way the Lord's Prayer can help us pray, maybe even transform and revolutionize the way we pray day by day. 500 years ago, the great reformer Martin Luther wrote a letter to his barber. And the reason we know that and still talk about that is because he didn't just write asking for a recommendation of a good brand of scissors, or to tell him how long he wanted it left over his ears next Wednesday or whatever. The reason is that Luther wrote a letter to his barber, who by all accounts was a bit of a mixed up character, and he tells him how to pray. So this is a very interesting letter. And Luther tells him how to meditate on scripture and suggests how he should do that. And then he goes to tell him what he should do with the Lord's Prayer. One of the things Luther recommends is to take the Lord's Prayer and pray it one line at a time, slowly. But then after you've prayed each line, to add your own words. Add a sentence or a little paragraph. See how the Holy Spirit takes you as you make that line of the prayer your own. Now, Martin Luther wasn't the first person or the last person to find that really helpful. Let me give you an example. You might start to pray the Lord's Prayer and you say, "Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, that I can come to you today as my Father. Thank you that you're so ready to hear. You're so much more ready to hear me as my Father than I am to speak to you as your grumpy teenage child. Thank you that through Jesus I've been adopted as your child. Nothing can ever change that, Lord. Thank you for my new identity as a member of your family. Lord, thank you that nothing can take that away, however hard life seems today." And so on. Of course, another day it might go differently. Maybe the next day you'll pray the Lord's Prayer. The thing that will strike you is that first word, "our." So you pray, "Our Father in heaven, Lord, thank you that you are our Father. I'm not a Christian on my own. I'm not just relating to you on my own. I belong to a church family, and together we can say, Our Father, thank you. We're not just a bunch of individuals, but you've made us one body with Christ as the head and you as our Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray for Adam, whose dad died last year. Lord, may he know you as his Father today. Lord, and I pray for Stephen, who I know would love to be married one day, and I pray he may find contentment and peace in you, whatever his life brings. And Lord, may our church genuinely be a family where both of those guys feel on the center, feel at the center of our family and not just stuck at the edges somewhere. Lord, may they never feel lonely while they're part of our church," and so on. And then maybe I'll pick up my pen, because it's not a bad thing to have a pen and a piece of paper when you pray, because things come to your mind sometimes. And I'll write down, "Call Adam, call Stephen, invite them round, whatever," because as I've prayed, the Holy Spirit's just prompted me about them, and maybe something I can do for them, and I can be part of the answer to my own prayers for them. Then perhaps I'll go on, "Hallowed be your name. Lord, it's been a brutal week in politics this week. Lots of cruel things have been said, lots of things have been said that shouldn't have been said, but the thing that gets me most, Lord, the thing that hurts me most is that so few people have any concern for you. It's like we're trying to organise our world without any reference to you, without any reverence and respect for you. Lord, forgive us. It's like we've lost sight of the Creator and we're worshipping ourselves. Lord, have mercy. Lord, I pray for Christians in Parliament this week. Help them to shine out for you. Help them to be radically different. Lord, may your holy name be treated as holy in the places where our country is governed today." So on, of course, the next day, "Hallowed be your name" might come out a bit different. I might pray, "Hallowed be your name, Lord. I think of that conversation yesterday with my next door neighbour across the fence where he took your holy name in vain. He knows I'm a Christian. I guess it just came out without him thinking. And Lord, you know, I don't know how to deal with that. I just don't know what a godly reaction to that is when he does that. I don't want to jump down his throat, but it makes me so uncomfortable. Lord, I pray for him. I pray he may come to see that Jesus Christ is not just a swear word, but the name of the most glorious, most majestic, most humble, most loving person who's ever lived. Lord, may he come to see that. Lord, please give him a kind of healthy fear of you, but also a realization that you loved him so much you went and died for him. Please bring him to love you." And so on. And then I pray, "Your kingdom come. Lord, claim this world as your own." And so on. Now, you can do that with a sentence each time. It's good to pray, "Forgive us our sins," and let some things come to mind. as we forgive those who sin against us. Let some things come to mind. Who am I bearing a grudge against at the moment? But as you let the Holy Spirit work in your heart, maybe some of those words and sentences will become a paragraph. Maybe they'll become several paragraphs. And your prayers will take on that life of their own as the Lord leads you to pray. Why do I think that kind of prayer is so powerful? Well, first of all, it's taking the very words that Jesus gave us and it's praying them to God. That can't be a bad thing, can it? But it's not treating the Lord's Prayer like some kind of mantra, some kind of penance. Oh, say this three times and things will get right. It's not treating the Lord's Prayer like a magic charm that will work if you say it twice, morning and night. It's treating the Lord's Prayer as powerful words, but not powerful words because they're magic, powerful words because God uses them in us to bring our hearts closer to Him and to help us know how to pray. And as we pray the Lord's Prayer and make it our own, we apply it to our lives and to our world. And we can all do that. If you've never done that, why not do that tonight? Why not try praying the Lord's Prayer and just pausing and saying, Lord, what can I add to this today? How are you speaking to me today? How do you want me to pray today? If you feel like my friend, you're not very good at praying, here's a great way to start. Or if you love praying, well, here's a focus, a Jesus-given focus. This then is how you can pray, which will lift your prayers to Him. Because when we pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, praying the prayer that He gave us, then we'll see His kingdom come and we'll see His will be done in our lives and in our world. And I tell you, that's what we need, isn't it? Shall we pray together now? Lord, thank you for the gift of prayer. Pray for those of us today who are particularly wanting your help and knowing we need your help. Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to pray. Bring our hearts and our minds to life with the power of your Spirit. And Lord, I pray too for that guy, Henry, and for those like him, maybe those like him that we know ourselves, who are calling out to a God that they're not sure exists. Lord, I pray for Henry that you'll reveal yourself to him. Bless him. And help us as we pray to depend on you and to shine out for you, for your glory. Amen.